It's always a little daunting to stand up here, but the Lord has given us a very special message this morning, and I'd like to give it to you. So, my name is LaDonna Adams. I live here in the local congregation of Neosho, and we're so glad you all are here. We didn't have to travel very far to get here, so if you lived in Neosho, you wouldn't have to either. So, I am a happy child of God. I'm just going to give that testimony right there. I'm just a happy sheep. That's all there is to it. We have a wonderful shepherd in our congregation and a wonderful chief shepherd over all of us, and I am a happy child of God. The Lord has given us something this morning that I want us to, this is actually a message for every one of us, children too. So I want you to listen close as well. So I want to write something on the board. I've written on the board, smart business moves. So I'd like to start with a history lesson. I found out that I am somewhat of a history bug. I love history. And I'd like to talk to you about a man, and I don't mean to talk about him. I just want to mention the facts of this man. His name was John Davidson Rockefeller, and he was born in 1839, and he lived to be 97, so he died in 1937, almost 98 years old. He was raised in a very poor environment and had a father who was quite the con artist. But his mother was a wise woman, and she was a devout religious person, and she taught him how to save, to work, to save, and to give. And he started being a bookkeeper at the age of 16 and then started investing in companies by the time he was 20. And you may or may not know the story, but when he died, he was a billionaire. Not a millionaire, a billionaire in 1937. In fact, he was the first American billionaire. And he was the start of Standard Oil Company, which at that time was something kind of new, but people were beginning to need kerosene and oil and gas. Cars were starting to come in vogue and become available. Kerosene heat was becoming available in lighting. Only the wealthy could afford lighting with their whale oil, but now the poor man could have kerosene and have lighting as well. So he was catering to a lot of needs at that time. And he made some very smart business moves. And you'll agree with that. When he died, he was worth $1.5 billion. And at his wake, someone asked the bookkeeper of his book, said, "How much did John D. Rockefeller leave?" And the bookkeeper said, "All of it." So I would like for us to go to Luke, the 12th chapter, and I'm not here to do a slam on John D. Rockefeller. He was a philanthropist and gave mightily. He did a lot of wonderful things. So I'm not here to disregard that. But I want to make a point. So if you will turn with me to Luke, the 12th chapter, and the 16th verse. This is Jesus, and he's given a parable. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.' And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." That would be a smart business move. He had extra, needed to take care of extra. That was a smart. He didn't say, "I'm going to go out and burn it all." He said, "I'm going to tear down my barn and build a bigger barn. I need a bigger facility for the excess that I have gained." But he also went on to say, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" The Lord said, "You've left something out here." And I want us to get a vision today of what we leave out sometimes. In there's nobody that loves a rags-to-riches story more than I do. I've read a lot of people who have become very wealthy by the things that the decisions that they made and the sacrifices that they made. And they started from nothing, absolutely nothing, and ended up very wealthy. And there was nothing. They were determined. Nothing's going to stop me. But Jesus says here, there's something more important than that. There's something more that you need to think about. And I want us to this morning. "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So, a smart business move. Smart business moves. Jesus made some smart business moves. So let's talk about him in Luke, the second chapter, and the 41st verse. And the reason I believe the Lord has given this message is because you can get caught up in a whirlwind.
Yes.
Pursuing wealth. We live in a country that makes it possible. Not easy, but possible. And we have in our ear, that is the measure of success of a man, is how much money he can make, and how much he can save, and how much he can invest, and how much he can die with. But just like John D. Rockefeller, you will leave all of it too. You will not take any of it with you. So in my mind, Jesus left the example here. That was not a smart business move. When Jesus was here, he did not go to the accountants and say, "I want to put in, because I want us to make a lot of money while I'm here. I want to show the people the right moves to make, because I know what we can do." And he did. But Jesus didn't even own a house. He didn't hardly have a place to lay his head, he said. He did not spend time on that. Now, I'm not here to say you shouldn't have a house. I'm please get me on this. But sometimes we become so wrapped up in that whirlwind that we forget what's most important. Have you ever ridden in an airplane or a jet and you're going over a city and you see the lights of the city and you wonder, who's saved here? Is there anybody saved here? Lord, if there is somebody saved here, encourage them. If there's not, would you please bring them to Christ? One lady was saying that about 4:30 every morning, the train went by, and it was a passenger train. And she said it was so annoying because it would wake you up and it would be enough that you couldn't go back to sleep. And the Lord said, pray for the passengers on that train. We have things we need to do, but we're too caught up in this other whirlwind that we've forgotten the treasure's not here. The treasure is not here. It is in heaven. And that's what he said, be rich toward God. And I want us to make smart business moves. I want us to be able to say when we get to heaven, thank you, Lord, for the wealth of heaven. Thank you, Lord, for every soul that is here. Thank you, Lord, for everything that happened in my life that I could bring them to you.
Yes.
We first also need a vision. So I want us to look at John, the 4th chapter, and the 35th verse. This is Jesus again, and he's trying to get through to them a message. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. I think sometimes we've lost our vision of the white fields. In southeast Missouri, they raise cotton. And when it is in bloom, it is beautiful. They have pink, burgundy, and white blooms. But when that opens up into the cotton bowl opens up. Those are beautiful. It looks like snow. It looks beautiful. But do you know, too many times we're just looking down. Lord's not doing anything around here. I just don't see the things happening that should happen. And we forget, because Jesus said, look up. Look up. Is the world saved? Then we've got work to do. We've got work to do. Brother Fari mentioned the word repine. So I'm going to capitalize on that a little bit. People who are disgruntled and dissatisfied. You know, you've heard, I don't see the outreach. And I want so bad to say, what are you doing about it?
Yeah.
What about you? If you don't see something good happening and you're all you can do is gripe about it, what are you doing about it? Well, I just don't see the Lord working. Well, what are you doing about it? Are you fasting and praying? I'm putting this as a responsibility for every one of us. None of us are exempt. And I will tell you a little secret. If all you can do is gripe and complain, you don't have enough to do. You simply don't have enough to do. There was two words it was very dangerous to use in our home when we were children growing up. And that's the words, I'm bored. Do you know you can be bored in the kingdom of God and all you can do is gripe and complain? I'm telling you what, I'm a happy child of God. I've learned not to say I'm bored. I thank the Lord for all that He is. And I do see a white field. And sometimes you think, well, people just aren't interested. Oh. Be interested in them.
That's right.
This world needs the Lord.
Yes.
And you know, if you're going to have a smart business move, you're going to have a soul that follows you into heaven as you have followed Christ.
Yes.
That wants it so bad that you just give them a little salt to make them thirsty.
That's right.
Give them a life that looks good to them. That they're just in awe of what the Lord does for you.
That's right.
What kind of God is that? Well, it's a God for you too if you want Him. And I'm praying for you. Okay, so Jesus was the little boy talking in the temple. So I want you to turn with me to Luke, the second chapter. And they were supposed to go home. This is the 41st verse, Luke 2 and 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. I'm going to stop right there. And it came to pass that after 3 days, oh my, a lost child in 3 days. I can't imagine the horror. I've lost a child in a few hours, and I'm very upset. But they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And you know, the mother's heart wants to jerk the child up and spank them for not obeying and being in the company. But then the other part, it said, Mary hid these things in her heart. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He was about 12 years old at that time, and he was subject to his mother and father until he was 30. So there was an 18-year gap there. But when he did start his father's business, he did it. It was just a three and a half year passage of time. But when it was done, you remember he said it is finished. And he went about doing father's business.
Yes.
So smart business moves would be for the father.
That's right.
If you really want to make a good investment, investment in the kingdom of God,
right.
it'll you may not see the results of it till we get to heaven. But then it won't matter. We're just so glad to be there. Okay? So how do we do that? So I want us to think about that. John, the sixth chapter. How do I make a smart business move for Jesus? How can I increase God's kingdom? What can I be? What can I say? What can I do? So we're going to talk about that. John, the sixth chapter. They were with a great multitude. And Jesus, the fifth verse, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he said unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus knew what he was going to do. But Philip answered him, saying, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" So we have a lad's lunch. And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. 12 baskets, 12 disciples. Go figure. Smart business move. Lad's lunch.
Yes.
Little is much.
That's right.
When God is in it.
Right.
Labor not for wealth or fame.
That's right.
There's a crown and you can win it.
Yes.
If you go in Jesus' name. Little is much if God is in it. I'm going to tell you another little history story. And this is actually my husband's family history. Years ago, in the little town of Zenith, Missouri, a woman was getting ready to move into a rent house with her husband and family. And in that rent house was a Faith and Victory paper. It reached her soul. She read that paper, and it meant something to her, so she shared it with her friend, her neighbor. So I think it is an Effie Miller. Or Essie Miller. I might not get it right, but anyway. And she shared it with Katie Marler. Is that right, Melanie? Yes. The other way around. Katie shared it with... Okay. And they both were hungry, and they had families. And they were spiritually hungry. This Faith and Victory paper meant so much to them that they wrote and said, "We're hungry. Is there anybody that can come out here and hold us a meeting?" And Brother Darius Gibson came and held the meeting. Am I getting it right? Okay. And there was a lot of people interested. And it became a congregation. Now, it no longer is there now, simply because people moved away. You know, the needs and necessities of life happen. It doesn't mean that the congregation disappeared. It's just the needs were different. They shared it with family. Gentry's, Arthur Gentry, that's my husband's grandfather. Oh my, well then that spread, and there was a little congregation there, and you wouldn't believe how that feathered out. And sometimes I think it'd be interesting just to know how many it touched. Millers,
yes.
Gentry, Adams, Williamson's. That little tract of paper produced hundreds of souls. Produced hundreds, I'm going to say hundreds, because we can't know the whole number of that. That little paper. Little is much if God is in it. And I love that. I love that story. I never got to meet Grandpa Arthur Gentry. My husband never did either. But he loved the Lord, and he wanted to serve him. And do you know, his life made a difference in his family, which made a difference in my husband. And we married, and it made a difference in our family.
Yeah.
It does that.
Yeah.
It's exponential.
That's right.
Okay. So a lad's lunch. We don't think too much about that, but it fed 5,000 men and everything else included in that.
Yeah.
So if he had a wife and one child, that's 15,000 people right there. But we know that could have been greater than that. But it fed many. All right. Let's go to John, the 12th chapter. In the first verse, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. She gave abundantly, because they say 300 pence is equal to about a year's wages of a common man. That's pretty expensive perfume, isn't it? So what do we call this? Let's see. Okay, so I'm going to put a value on this. How much is a lunch? We're going to do $20, okay? Pound of spikenard. I'm just going to put year's wages. You figure that one. That was a smart business move. Because she was doing it against his burying. I don't even think she realized that. But what a beautiful story that is. All right, go with me to Matthew, the 4th chapter, and the 19th verse. Or the 18th verse. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Fishers of men. Yeah. That. They left their career. This is for all of us.
Yes.
So this is what I want to say. Maybe we do have one more thing to write. Would you be willing to give up your career? That's a hard one. Would you be willing to give up a year's wages. How much did you, what was on your W-2 last year? Would you be willing to take somebody to lunch? Do you know, I have found, just in the circle of friends that I have made in a different area, a lot of older ladies are in contact with me, and they're lonely. Very lonely. So we'll go out for lunch. And do you know, it's been a rich experience for me too. It's not just for them. But you get to learn about their lives and the failures and the disappointments and the successes. Do you know the Lord wants your lunch? Pay attention to somebody.
Yes.
There is somebody at your door that needs your touch or the touch of Jesus through you. The fields are white. Look up. The fields are white. If you're not seeing the fields as white, you're not looking up. There's a world around us that needs the Lord. I may not be able to feed the 5,000, but I can feed one. I can give one person Jesus, and then maybe they could feed it to someone else. You know, the Lord, He wants all of us. He wants all the parts of us. And sometimes we just think, but this part is for this, and this is for this, and I give 10%, which that's a commendable thing. It's a wonderful thing. But the Lord wants the other 90% too. He wants all of you. He wants your childhood. He wants your youth. He wants your adulthood. And He wants your old age. Do you know you can still bear fruit in old age? I've seen it. And it's beautiful. And it's sweet. That fruition is sweet. Isaiah 6 and 8. Isaiah 6 and 8 says, "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" So I'm going to write that up there. That should be our heart response for every calling that the Lord gives. Because he that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 11 and 30 says, "He that winneth souls is wise." That's the smart business move.
Yes,
that's the smart business move. I'm thankful to the Lord for all that He means to me, and I want to be true to this message myself. So I desire you pray for me. If we could sing, there's a song, "I Cannot Be Idle," I'd be thankful.